if we see the price of July silver trade this week to 29.54, that will take out this past week's highest reading on this meta oscillator, including the upturn process is starting and downturn is drying up.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each day he brings you the precious metals and financial news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and today's market rundown, we're going to look at gold and silver in context of last week, this week, and hopefully next week. And we'll talk a little bit of geopolitics, and then we'll look at some market-driving news as well. But first, let's look at the markets as they currently exist. The dollar is 105.27, continuing its rally from Friday, up 34. 10-year yields are up 3 basis points at 4.46, continuing their rally, or bonds getting crushed from Friday. S&P 500, 53.42, down 2 handles, extending a little bit of Friday's downside. The VIX, 13.14, up 93. That's a nice move for the VIX. Gold is $22.99, up $6.10. Obviously, it got crushed on Friday. This is a bounce. We'll talk about this in context of all the markets in a second. Silver is $29.70, up 54 cents. Impressive at 1.89%, but it was down over 6% on Friday. Copper is $4.49, up 1.5% to 1.75%. WTI is $76.16, up 55 cents. Another bounce. Natural gas, 286, defying everything, up 11 and change cents. That's 4%. Again, above $2. People are buying dips all the way up to, I guess, the next hurricane season. Crypto, 69,491. Bitcoin is down 137. Ethereum, 36.76. Ethereum is down 29. Platinum and palladium are both up. Palladium is playing catch up, up 9. Trading 918, up 7. Platinum 968, up 2. Those markets also got slammed last week on Friday. Grains are upside down. Soybean is up and wheat is down and corn is slightly higher. So soy is 1177, up 5. Corn is 445, up almost 3. And wheat is 635, down 3. Okay, so the headline, the tentative headline is the Michael Oliver technical update. Now, I want to be completely fair. We're not going to tell you everything that Michael Oliver says, but we do subscribe and receive his reports. We're going to share with you an excerpt or two focused on precious metals, and we're not going to give everything away. This is how the man makes money, right? But we are going to share enough with you to say, oh, that's cool, and you'll be able to think a little bit more and think about what your decisions are from there. Okay. Commentary that and CTAs sold level to hold. All right. Let's go to the front page. Front page. I did three podcasts this weekend. I guess it came out of me verbally instead of written this weekend. So Yellen's disastrous China trip. That was about her giving away the fact that we have gone from wanting to buy Chinese goods cheap to wanting to sell goods overseas and complaining about cheap Chinese goods. Just showed our hand on how vulnerable we are. And this one, Hartnett, Hartnett's report, one flew over the cuckoo's nest, related to the fact that we're getting closer to being overbought in stocks. And also he sees oil as being drastically cheap if there's a geopolitical surprise. And I'm going to call back to that in my geopolitical comment. And there's one more in there somewhere. Where did that go? China has yet to show its hand. Now that's about China stopping its purchasing of gold, at least saying that they're stopping their purchasing. Those, I think, are three of my better podcasts. At least that's what the feedback has been so far. And one was big picture and one was context of the behavior on Friday. Anyway, moving to the main event, right? All right. I'm going to read a couple of excerpts here. I'm not going to give away all the prices. I also, in premium, I'll add a little bit more to it. It's important to know that he has a report that comes out once a week called the 360 report, 360 degree report. And in that report, he goes over all the major markets. And I'll just say that with regards to the stock market, we're near the end of a topping formation. We're near a trigger for a sell-off. So from a technical perspective, he's agreeing with data that Michael Hartnett is saying. That's always good when you have cross-discipline agreement. In bonds, I haven't looked closely at that yet. Maybe I should because I'm long bonds and getting my ass handed to me. And in metals, I've read that, obviously, and I'm going to give you a couple excerpts from that. Okay, first thing I want to read. This is Michael talking. This time in April, May, and now June, gold has traded up to 2,400 each month, and six of the past 9 weeks have traded over 2,400. It's hardly thin air up here is what that action is saying. No sudden spike high and collapse. Instead, gold has been taking the selling without any exhaustive looking high. I completely agree with that. And again, I'm going to add to it from a different perspective, from a different discipline. I'm a watcher of the tape. And starting on December 3rd, I saw the Bank of International Settlements get very active. On December 3rd, December 4th, that spike high, they came in and sold it. Boom. And usually when they come in and put a lid on something, it's over. That's the top. And instead, from December 3rd through February 28th, the market chopped in a big range sideways. And it was during that time I identified a sovereign wealth fund and probably a central bank buying. And on March 1st, that's when the macro discretionary came in with a vengeance. Now, since the March 1st up ramp, there have been two points where we had a long wick above. If you're looking at a daily, I forget the days, but they were both of those days were BIS coming in and capping the market. Now, why is this related to what he just said? It's related to what he just said because every time the BIS does that, you hold your breath, okay? Because that means the buying is done, the market's going to go down, and they're going to slam it. But that's not what's happening now. See, the BIS isn't always bearish. I mean, they are always bearish. But sometimes the BIS has to buy gold. And this is my opinion. They need to keep a lid on it so their buyers can get filled. And so they will do that. They will make a market. They're buying for a customer where the bullion banks are, and they're selling to keep it in a range. They're being a market maker of last resort. This relates directly with what Michael's saying because every time, the last three times the BIS has sat on this market, it's dropped hard, precipitously, and then it stopped. Now, we could be at the beginning of that happening again. I'm not saying it has happened again, but that tells me that there's real buying underpinning this, and they're trying to keep a lid on it behaviorally to get that buying filled. So bringing what I just said back to what Michael said, the market makes these new spike highs and then eventually trades up there in size, in volume. It's hardly thin air up here is what that action is saying. And he's right. We are in a new paradigm is not the right word. I mean, everyone will say the word paradigm. We're in a new distribution of where gold is. Now, you know, hopefully it's not a Wyckoff distribution, but until it looks like something like that, I'm with what Michael's saying here. I mean, look at this chart. You have to expect it to come back here, right? You would say, oh, thin air. No, but we're trading up here. We're creating congestion up here, right? It's not like we have one level, new all-time highs, and then it comes off. We have a lot of levels. All right, getting into the nitty-gritty. We've run several short-term metrics, again, talking Michael's words here, of daily and weekly momentum timescale charts not shown here, and come up with a number that, if seen this week, argues this range-bound action on either side of 2,400 is over and upside is resuming. That number would be a daily close by August gold this week at, I'm not going to give you the number, I'm just going to give you the range to give you an idea between 2350 and 2495. That price last week was 2325. So again, continuation from what he's saying above, it's not thin air up here. This is a new trading range. There's a fundamental shift. Paradigm, I guess, is the right word, right? Okay. And upon seeing that, I'm not sure exactly what he did, but upon seeing that and testing, he said, well, we're now in a range. And this range-bound action will end on either side of 2,400 if we get above this number between 2,350 and 2,495. Okay. And so if we get above that, then range bound momentum shifts to bullish momentum. I'm guessing because I see something similar to that, but not exactly. His is proprietary on my Bollinger Band setup, which also is proprietary, but it's probably not as complicated as his. Okay. So let's move to silver next. Silver, right? He also has some considerable information on silver, but I'm going to show you the number on silver today because I know that the Arcadia people will strangle me if I don't tell them something. If we see the price of July silver trade this week to 29.54, that will take out this past week's highest reading on this meta oscillator, including the upturn process is starting and downturn is drying up. I probably left a word out there. But what you're looking at in this chart, without giving away too much of his secrets, I don't know too many of his secrets, is this is kind of a momentum oscillator that he has. And if you're a Bollinger Band person, which I am, there's a similarity to it in methodology as it's measuring volatility, not price. And what he's noticed, and he explains this a little bit, what he's noticed as is it rarely gets more than four in one direction before it reverses. So for example, that red circle up there, that's three in one direction, and then it reversed. And then the green circle, all the green circles are four in one direction, and then a reversal. So he's saying at the very least, the momentum is oversold, and that's why it's green below and red above. And I can't find fault with it. I understand what he's talking about. So there you go. That's where is that? Yeah, we'll come back to silver a little bit. All right. So to clarify, no, not necessarily if we get above 29.54, no, not necessarily some instant thunderbolt, but it indicates that the pressures are shifting. So you may have a range bound higher. You may have a violent breakout and then a pullback, but he's saying it's an indication that the pressure is shifting. There's always risk to the downside. Okay. But, you know, it's nice to have a big sell-off and have your technician come back and say, okay, I've done the math. It could be a problem if we get to here, but if we get back above here, it's not a problem. Right now, we're just still in the range. That's kind of what he's saying, in my opinion. Stay with us, and we'll give you some more insights at the end in premium. Geopolitics, no geo Goldilocks for Biden. Michael Hartnett said something. He said, geopolitics has no Goldilocks. So I just said geo Goldilocks. And that's why he's saying to buy oil. So I'm not going to go through each one of these, but I'm going to go through the comment, my comment, I should say. Look, Israel, the headline is 200 Gazans killed to rescue four Israelis. You know what? There are valid points on both sides of this. And one side is it really worth killing 200 for four? And that is a statistical, bigger picture comment. And then the other side is, well, first of all, they are hostages and a crime has been committed taking them, and you don't negotiate with hostages. You don't appease evil, okay? So there are both sides to that debate, but I'm going to just bring it down to a personal choice. How many people would you remove from this earth to save your own child? And once you have that number, you have to ask yourself, are these close enough to be considered children, these four people? Anyway, that's just an opinion, and I know where I come down on it. Israeli Minister Gantz resigned from the emergency government. That's bad. That's bad for Netanyahu. That's a divided Israel. The Biden administration is discussing the possibility of negotiating a unilateral deal with Hamas independently of Israel to release American hostages. That's alarm bells. Okay. That's American election politics. Rescue the hostages before the election, right? Intersecting with geopolitics. Maybe we make the Israelis look bad if we get ours out of there. What are we going to promise them for that? It's just... It's alarm bells. I don't know how it resolves itself, but it's alarm bells. Russian forces appear to have made headway. So, you know, no geo-Goldilocks for Biden. Senior Russian lawmaker says, so Russia is going to attack Ukrainian jets where they're based. So that means Russia is going to attack more. The F-16s are going to be targeting Russian bases further in country. That's a necessary evil. I don't like it, but I understand both sides of that equation. Biden and Macron are going to go out of their way to spend Russia's money. That's a bad idea, getting worse. South Korea restarted loudspeaker broadcast in response to North Korea's, you know, they were sending balloons filled with crap over. So more fog and distractions. And the Philippines says, look at us. We are reaffirming our commitment. Would somebody please bomb us? I mean, that's really what it looks like. Okay. So moving to the data on deck. First half of the week is nothing. Today, nothing scheduled. Tomorrow, nothing significant is scheduled. But Wednesday is a huge day, CPI. Okay. I don't think CPI is as big as or important as it was 2-3 months ago. But, you know, obviously it's a very big thing. And if there's a surprise, that's going to really screw things up. The FOMC is the bigger item that day, believe it or not, at 2 p.m. So Wednesday will be kind of like two trading sessions. Thursday is PPI, which will be big. Not as big as CPI, but big enough. It's more of a forward-looking inflationary index, and that should be clean right now. And Friday is consumer sentiment. Stay with us, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about that report. But I want to bring you to the gold chart and the silver chart for a second here. All right. You may or may not recall that when the market made a low in here and stopped, I got alerted. I drew two lines here to give you kind of a little range. This is where I identified the buyer that was here coming back. He bought here. He caught a knife. The knife bounced. He caught it again. He caught it again. And then the market just said, I give up, and started to rally again, right? So here we are. It stopped. Is this a dead cat bounce? Yeah, it could be. But if you look at silver, it doesn't like a dead cat bounce. I think the buyer is at least nibbling in this area. And harkening back to Michael Oliver's comment, see this? That's the BIS. Sold. Retest? Nope. But it holds. Sold. No retest or a weak retest, but it holds. Okay? I'll bring you back a little bit. Remember December 3rd? BIS. Remember when this was the highest we've ever seen and how exciting it was? Sold. Retest. And then holds for 2 months. And that's the algo buying for a sovereign wealth fund. So you have to be in my Sunday conversation with Goldfix founders. I said, you have to be long here and you have to stop yourself out below some level. Maybe it's Friday's low. Maybe it's one of these lows back here. And that's how I look at gold right now. You have to be long. And I did. I am short call spreads against being long miners, but I did punt a little bit long last night. The market opened unchanged. I held my nose and bought a tiny bit and put a stop in below. So it's a small punt. And silver, of course, I should have bought silver, but I bought gold. All right, let's take a look at silver. Silver. Okay, before you get too excited about this, and believe me, I can get excited about this. It's a bounce. Right? I mean, we dropped 6%, but it's a bounce. But it's a damn good bounce. That's a damn good bounce. These 2 days cancel this day out. So if you look at these 3 days, we're right here. After 3 days, we have 3 days together. It's a doji day. That's still pretty damn healthy, you know? I think macro discretionary is buying silver now, and that's why it's reacting so violently. CTAs, which are your smaller hedge funds and your aggregated retail, they're puking precious metals right now, and you love to see that. And I'm not even being ironic. You love to see that. You want to see them sell without the macro discretionary selling. And if the market can hold at a level here with open interest all the way down. Again, I'll show that chart again some other time. You have the market basing for another high, which also corroborates what Michael was saying. Okay.
Well, thanks for tuning into today's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. show is brought to you each day by Miles Franklin Precious Metals, who we encourage you to consider for your next gold or silver purchase or sale. Miles Franklin has pricing that's among the best in the industry on most products, and Arcadia is proud to be a licensed Miles Franklin representative and happy to help whenever you have questions or want to place an order. Where this week's silver special is 1 ounce Silver Britannias for only $3.15 over spot. Silver Britannia is the sovereign coin from the Royal Mint in England and has the added advantage of being IRA eligible. Place an order, get more information, or speak with me directly. Call us at 833-326-4653, and we'll be happy to help you get whatever you need. So thanks for watching, and we look forward to hearing from you. Please note that this video is not intended as legal, licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.